This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. We all know that cliche about death and taxes, but why do we pay taxes? That's a question a select group of West Virginia lawmakers is exploring. Or maybe it's better phrased, are the taxes West Virginia residents and businesses paying the right ones for West Virginia? As Ashton Mara reports, it could be months before they have an answer.
Three main goals. Is our tax system fair? Can we simplify it? And most importantly, how can we structure it to best promote economic growth?
The three goals Delegate Eric Nelson set out for his committee before their meeting Monday also happened to be his three takeaways after more than 6 hours of presentations. The House Finance Chairman also serves as the co-chair of the newly appointed Joint Committee on Tax Reform, assembled about a month ago. Monday marked the 14-member committee's second meeting.
At the end of the day, we must be competitive with our surrounding states. We must provide a structure that is predictable. And most importantly, we must provide a structure that is certain to our citizens and the corporate entities in our state.
It's been 9 years since West Virginia's tax structure was reviewed. The last study came under Governor Manchin in 2006. Before that, under Governor Underwood in 1999. Members heard Monday from economists who participated in both studies. The economists reviewed their outcomes and recommendations, many of which were never implemented. Michael Carl served as the co-vice chair of the Underwood study.
In terms of the implementation. Now, we didn't get to implement much of anything, but there's been plenty of good work.
That reform has been piecemeal, though, Carl says, not the sweeping changes Underwood and Manchin were both going for. Aside from a review of those studies, lawmakers were given an overview of the current tax structure, what taxes and tax credits are in place, and what goods and services are exempt. They also had a history lesson on West Virginia's tax code, reaching as far back as the turn of the 20th century to explain the policy and political decisions that resulted in the state's personal income tax, broad sales tax, and property tax systems we have today. Those three taxes make up the largest portion of the state's income, aside from lottery funds, and help provide almost all of the services the state offers. So with a committee full of first-time leaders after the Republican takeover, and even some first-time legislators, all of the presenters urged extreme caution as they move forward. The warning was first expressed by Revenue Secretary Bob Kiss, former House Speaker and House Finance Chair.
I don't think the end result of any study, and certainly the administration does not believe the end result of any study, has to be a comprehensive 800-page bill which substantially or fundamentally changes the tax structure immediately.
Kiss also cautioned the committee not to divorce conversations of tax reform from conversations of the budget. At the end of the day, Kiss says the tax system is the structure for the budget moving into the future. Again, attorney Michael Carl.
So my point is that reform needs to happen, I do believe, but go about it carefully.
Dr. Calvin Kent, who worked on both the Underwood and Manchin reviews, joined them.
Everything is interconnected. And if you do change one tax, you're going to wind up with ripples that are going to affect other taxes, which may be very negative.
Chairman Nelson says he hears their words of warning and is taking them seriously. After talk from both House and Senate leaders that this committee may have legislation ready for a special session this fall, or at least by the 2016 session, Nelson is backing away from those notions.
I think that there's always an interest in probably making positive moves in a timely fashion. As we've started to get more involved with this and talking with different people, timeline's the last thing we want to put on the table. It just gets back to some of the things we heard today of don't move too quick.
After all, Nelson says there are 120 other members of the legislature who will need to be educated on the issue before changes can be voted on. The Joint Committee has scheduled its next meeting for May 18th, where it'll hear about the changes other states have made to their tax codes in the recent past. Presenters will include the National Council on State Governments, the Tax Foundation, and the Council on State Taxation. Nelson says the committee also intends to hear from those affected by tax changes, but only mentioned industry as being on the agenda so far. He maintains, though, all interest groups will have a place at the table. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:49. Mostly cloudy in the north with a chance of rain and thunderstorms there. Partly sunny in the south today. Temperatures in the 70s and 80s. Partly cloudy tonight, but there's a chance of thunderstorms statewide. Overnight lows in the 50s. Partly sunny on Wednesday, but still a chance of thunderstorms. Temperatures remaining in the 70s and 80s.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the West Virginia Division of Rehabilitation Services, enabling and empowering workers with disabilities to meet business workforce needs. Employer services at wvdrs.org.
Remnants of former prehistoric societies exist throughout Appalachia. One photographer is trying to capture glimpses of those ancient times in a series he's dubbed Vanishing Points. Glennis Board spoke with him about his work and brings us this report.
Michael Sherwin is an associate professor of photography at West Virginia University. When he moved to Morgantown with his family several years ago, there were these protests happening around the development of what is now the Suncrest Town Center. WVU had sold what was an ancient indigenous burial site to developers. Sherwin entered the scene after the Super Kroger was already built.
And being it was less than a mile from my house and I was shopping there, I was kind of torn by this whole, like, dual identity of this landscape. And so one evening, I decided I wanted to photograph it.
Sherwin says historical landscapes have always fascinated him. He shoots with a large format camera, like the one Ansel Adams used, which he says there's a mystery to the process that he enjoys, a break from the world of immediate gratification that we're all pretty accustomed to.
There's a mystery as to how that image is going to work out, and there's an anticipation that I really enjoy, and I never really know what I'm going to get until I scan that film into the computer, and then it's processed from there.
So he hauled his camera to an overlook of the growing shopping center on the edge of Morgantown, the almost final resting place of some of the Monongahela tribe. In a strange twist of fate, the bones found there were entrusted to a tribe in New York who, Sherwin says, were great enemies of the Monongahela tribe. Be that as it may, Sherwin composed the shot of the shopping center and then processed the negative.
I photographed it around dusk. It was a long exposure, so the clouds were kind of moving above, and then below the cars were, you know, the hustle and bustle of this little town center. And when I saw the print of that, after I scanned that negative in, I was like, whoa, there's a duality to this image that expresses these two different cultures, the East and the West, kind of coming together.
It was the beginning of what became a series Sherwin named Vanishing Points. He began to research what ancient remnants of lost civilizations in the region still exist, then to seek them out and photograph them. He canvassed much of the state of West Virginia and then began to follow the ancient Ohio Trail in central and southern Ohio. Over the course of more than 3 years, he's been collecting historical landscapes. Images in the resulting series usually incorporates some strangely banal detail of modern society that coexists with some former society's faded mark on the landscape.
And so this is a canal lock in Black Hand Gorge State Park in Ohio that was carved into an earthwork. So the earthwork banks were above this, and they literally carved in them to create a lock for water and for boat travel. And now it's not in use. Now it's a hiking trail. So you have three sort of layers, three different kinds of dimensions to the landscape.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Then some of Sherwin's images show no trace of former society at all.
One of the things I've gotten interested in is not just photographing the mound and documenting the site, but thinking about how the landscape looks and how different it is from the viewpoint from the top of the site. So this is from the top of Grave Creek Mound, which is the largest known Indian burial mound in the world, and it's incredible and massive. thousands of years old. And this is the view from the top of Moundsville, West Virginia.
Sherwin's series includes some 60 images so far. He says it's an ongoing project, but he's at a point now where putting a large show together might be possible. And by large, I mean literally large. One of the benefits of shooting with a large format camera is this incredible detail that's captured, allowing really big prints, like 3 or 4 feet tall. Putting a show together of these huge prints is something he's hoping to achieve in coming years in this region. His project so far was made possible in part with grants from the Colonel Eugene E. Myers Foundation, the West Virginia Division of Culture and History, and the National Endowments for the Arts, and with approval from the West Virginia Commission of the Arts. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board in Morgantown.
And to see some of the images Michael Sherwin has captured, visit us online at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. We're interested in your comments. You can send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.